Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Daniel chapter 9. Our study this time is titled Daniel the Bible Student, and we'll be in verses 1 and 2 of Daniel chapter 9. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Now we begin our study in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, titled Daniel the Bible Student. This is part 1 of 2.
All right, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Tonight we're going to talk about Daniel the Bible Student. We think of Daniel the prophet. We hear about Daniel in the lion's den. We read about Daniel with his visions and his dreams. But we don't think of Daniel much as the Bible student. I remember I really loved preaching back in many moons ago. We were in Mark, and one of the studies was titled Jesus the Preacher, because people think of Jesus in many ways, but they don't think of him much as a preacher, but he was a preacher. And Daniel was a Bible student. So let's open up the word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Pray you help me to teach without having coughing fits. And pray that everyone here tonight is able to stay wide awake and attentive and receive what you have from your word. Your word is so wonderful. We don't just sing about the wonderful words of life, but we love this book. And we are a Bible Believers Fellowship, not just in name, but in reality, we are just a group of Bible believers who fellowship. And we pray, Lord, that you'll guide our study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Daniel, the Bible student. One of the ways you know that people don't think of Daniel this way very often is when you do a search and you want to find a picture or a painting of Daniel reading the Bible or reading the Jeremiah scroll or whatever. And I could find Daniel doing everything else but that. I found two. One of them didn't look like Daniel. He looked kind of like a street bum. And then this guy, I think, is as close as anybody probably would come to knowing what Daniel looks like anyway. But I like it. I like how he's intently reading the Bible and actually shows this. I want you to pay attention there to the scroll. You see, it's a scroll that he's reading. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But let's go ahead and read, if you would. Start with me by reading just verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. I'm going to stop there because one of the important things about the Bible, Doug and I were actually just talking about this, that there are so many people who think that we don't really have reasons for what we believe, that we don't have evidence for what we believe, and that we don't really have any reason to believe the Bible. And a lot of them paid good money to go off to some school and have their faith destroyed. Others just get it from History Channel, HBO, PBS, the evening news, or the Methodist Church, the Episcopal Church, the Catholic Church, and a number of apostate churches where you'll go and you'll have your faith in the book destroyed. They want you to be religious. They don't want you to be some crazy Bible believer. There are people who would have nothing to do with us for the very reason of our name. There are people who would drive by this building and see the name of our fellowship on the little glass picture or glass, whatever you call that, out there. And it says Bible Believers Fellowship. They'll see that and keep on trucking, because they think anybody who believes the Bible is crazy. Then they see the King James, yeah, and then most evangelicals will keep on trucking. Well, as always, the Bible gives us raw historical data to demonstrate that it is a history book. And I'm glad Doug mentioned that, because your new versions have errors in them.
Right.
Amen. The NIV has errors in it. The ESV has errors in it. The new versions are not the infallible Word of God. They contain the Word of God. There are times where they get it right, but they also contain error.
Amen.
The King James Bible does not contain error.
Amen.
And year after year, I've seen these guys come, a lot of times they'll come right at me, but I've seen them go after other preachers and claiming that there's errors here, there's errors there. And then when people give them an answer, they show that they it's not that there's errors in the Bible, it's that they don't want to believe the Bible, because if they do believe the Bible, then they have to believe that they're going to answer for their sin one day. And if they believe the Bible, they face the fact that if they're not saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, they'll go to hell. That's why they don't believe the Bible. It's not because the Bible does. Right here, we're given raw historical data, and over in the Bible, you'll read this stuff, and a lot of people will skip it. And it just seems like a little too much detail, maybe. They'll skip it. What they don't realize is they're skipping some of the most important information in the Bible. Because it says right here that this was at a time when Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, but here's where you got to be careful. There's more than one Darius. Do you know that? There's more than one Ahasuerus. Jenny and I were reading in 2 Kings. Can't remember what the chapter was. But in two chapters, you had something that would confuse a lot of people. It talked about Jeroboam doing all the wickedness of his fathers before him. And that this king did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He followed the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The next chapter, God appointed and actually applauded Jeroboam. And so you look and say, what's going on here? It's because one was Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the other was Jeroboam. Do you remember the son of... I'll put you on the spot because I can't think of... But it was a different Jeroboam. And a lot of people will read that and get confused. That's why the Bible says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. You got to work. It takes a little work. That needeth not to be shaped. Rightly dividing the word of truth, and that means going right down to the very details of, okay, that's not the same Jeroboam. There are two different Jeroboams. Yeah, Johnny?
Probably the thing that probably was written today is that it'd probably be a third of all the names will be the same. You know what I mean?
You'd be surprised. I mean, really, that it hasn't changed much. If you look at the history of names, when Jesus came to the earth, there were a lot of Jesuses running around. In Hebrew, it was Yeshua. Jesus comes back now. I mean, half of Mexico is named Jesus. You know? So, the kings? Yeah. Yeah, that gets confusing. And the devils, in response to the Bible's historical data, the devils always try to undermine this historic data. Listen to this quote. This helps you understand who we're talking about here. This is the same with Darius the Median. They try to cause confusion. That took the kingdom after the death of Belshazzar, so-called, to distinguish him from Darius the Persian. See, there was a Darius... the Median, and then there was a Darius the Persian. It's kind of like saying there's a Greg Miller in Ohio who's a pastor, and there's a Greg Miller in Arizona who's Elvis. Did you know that? He's supposed to be the most popular Elvis impersonator out there. His name's Greg Miller. Yeah. Homosexual. But I'm not telling. Yeah. I'd hurt myself if I tried to do some of those moves Elvis did. Anyway, there's two different Dariuses. And he says, and yet Porphyry, who's Porphyry? He's kind of the modern day Richard Dawkins or, you know, fill in the blank, whatever, skeptic. Porphyry has the gall to assert that this was Darius the Persian, and it's not, under whom the temple was built. See? That Daniel might appear to live later than he did. See, the motive isn't Darius. but to make it look like Daniel didn't live during the time we're told he lives. They're doing the same thing today if you go to Ohio State University. You go to the Methodist Theological Seminary. They'll do the same thing. They try to make it look like Daniel didn't live when he did. Why? Because what we've been studying in Daniel 8, all about Antiochus Epiphanes. But they're trying to make it look like as Daniel lived during that time, but wrote as though he lived before it happened, pretending to give prophecy. Well, but here's the thing. Historians are some of the dumbest people you ever meet.
Amen.
And scholars, so-called scholars, they have no common sense. They lose their common sense.
Amen.
And what they don't get is, okay, even if we granted you that, he still lived before Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he predicted the exact time of the coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't understand that, come back, because when we get down to the last few verses of Daniel 9, we're going to show the exact prophecies. He continues and says, Ahasuerus, whose son he was, is not he that was the husband of Esther. See, when you go read Esther, you read about this Ahasuerus. That's not the same guy. And was many years later than this. But the same with Astyages, king of the Medes, and who is called Ahasuerus in the Apocrypha. In other words, this Ahasuerus was king of the Medes, and he's mentioned in the Apocrypha, which was written during the silent years, which is a couple hundred years after Daniel. You get that? That too difficult? Did I make it too difficult? I could have made it too difficult. The bottom line is you're going to have to be on guard for that. People are trying to undermine the historicity of this book to make you think that it's not really true. And say a lot more about that, but we got to move on. Verse 2 then says, in the first year of his reign, whose reign? This Darius that we were talking about. So read that with me. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. You see that? Daniel received a lot of information through visions and dreams and prophecy, the word of prophecy. Here, Daniel says he understood how many years they'd be in Babylon. 70 years. And he understood that by reading the Bible. And specifically, he got the 70 years information from the prophet Jeremiah in the very same book of Jeremiah you have in your Bible. The book of Jeremiah in your Bible was in Hebrew, the same book of Jeremiah that Daniel read to get this information. And that's pretty exciting. I think, anyway. The Bible is a collection of books. You understand that? It's why we talk about the books of the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. The Jews combine some of the books. So their number in the Old Testament is a little different than ours, but it's actually the same number of books, same material. The Catholic Church added books. How many of you have heard about the lost books of the Bible? They're not lost. We know exactly where they are, and we don't want them.
Amen.
They're the rejected books.
Amen.
Now, some of them have historical information, and it'd be good for that, but they're not inspired. They're not inerrant. They're not God's word. They're man's word. Now, people will say, well, your King James Bible had the Apocrypha in it. Have you heard that? They put the Apocrypha in between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
Not as part of the Old and New Testament.
Amen.
And that was only in the first edition.
Amen.
Of the King James. When it first came out. Then later it was removed and has been in there since. And it was never part of Scripture in the King James Bible.
Also, I have to add that it was literally King James.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. If you bought a Bible now and it had the Apocrypha in the middle, as long as it's not included in the Old and New Testament, it's got historical information in it. In today's Bibles, you have a lot of times it'll have maybe a one page or several pages. They'll call it the intertestamental period or connecting the testaments or something like that. And all it does is give you a summary of those 400 years that the Apocrypha was written during. So, the Old Testament is still being written in Daniel's day. So you ask, Daniel's Bible? He had a Bible? Well, his Bible would not be under a single cover. Mine's about as big a Bible as you get, because the massive print, size of print I've got there. But all 66 books are in that one cover like that. And that's because of the technology we have for these very thin sheets of paper that don't tear real easily. Gloria could probably do a number on it, but I've torn them from time to time, but they're pretty sturdy, and the print is organized, and so you're able to get a lot of words on each page and so forth. Back in this day, you had things like vellum and papyrus. It was thick, and they had to be handwritten, hand-copied, and so they were so thick, and they didn't even have this kind of technology, or at least practice of putting a book together like this, so they'd have a roll, and they'd roll it up, and they called it a scroll. And then, so if you wanted to get to, you had the book of Isaiah, and you wanted to get to Isaiah chapter 50, you had a long way to roll, brother. It'd be like, all right, you take one side, ready, go. All right, it's chapter 5, come on. Chapter 12. Okay, come on. I mean, could you imagine trying to... That's why in the Bible you never hear Paul or Jesus preach and say, please turn in your Bibles to... They didn't have time. So back then, though, they actually would open it up and read it, and people knew the Bible well enough to know if you was messing with the book. And then they would come up afterwards and read after what you just read. And if you'd misquoted it, they'd see it because it's right there. We've got this wonderful technology and ability to have our Bibles right there in front of us like this. And they're under a single cover, and yet most Christians don't read it. I mean, that's the amazing thing about our generation, is they have such access. Just going back a couple hundred years ago, the illiteracy rate alone kept people from reading the Bible. Go back a couple hundred years before that, and the only way you could get a Bible was to go in the church, and they had this big old Bible, but it was chained to the desk. And they'd have a monk or a preacher or someone sitting there making sure you didn't steal any of the pages or anything, because people would do that. And so, and they weren't allowed to copy it either. There were laws against you even owning a Bible. And here we are, nice 21st century. You got, I don't have my phone on me, but you have a phone app. You have your Bible in front of you. We've got it on DVD, where I'll tell you right now, I sit there and hit play and just let Alexander read and turn a page for me. I love it. But I find people all the time with all this access and all this ability, and they just don't read the Bible. Daniel was a Bible student. Even in Paul's day, I don't know if you've thought about this, but the Bible was kept in scrolls, or what he called parchments. Over in 2 Timothy 4:13, it's kind of like, we all go home tonight, and then I text, I'll text the all balls here. I'll say, hey, I left my coat and my hat, and believe it or not, I left my Bible. Could you get my coat and my hat, and please do not forget my Bible. And I'll meet you over at McDonald's and get it from you. That's basically what Paul's telling Timothy here. He says, the cloak, which is his coat, that I left at Troas with Carpus, one of his buddies, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. That's his Bible. But it was in more than one volume. And I've heard people say, I don't carry my Bible to church. It's just too much to carry. I'm like, shut up. Just shut up. The mark of a real man or woman of God is their love for God's words. I've known people who are well known for being prayer warriors. Prayer warriors. And you talk to that person and they don't know the Bible any better than they know the, you know, yellow pages. That's not the mark of a woman of God. That could be a new ager. You could be talking to somebody who's into witchcraft for all you know, because prayer, that doesn't mean anything. Prayer's only good, it's only real if it's biblical. And you can only pray biblically if you know the Bible. Amen. That's why people get suckered into by these TV preachers and stuff. They don't know their Bible. And the TV preacher says, put your hands on the TV screen right now and send me a check, money order, cash or credit. You can send it and I will send you a hanky. And I will take that, this hanky. Give me a hanky, somebody. This authentic hanky, I will take it and dab the sweat from my brow as I'm in prayer before the Lord. And it'll be anointed, and you send me that check, and I'll send you this hanky. And when you get sick, you just lay that hanky on your head, and you'll be healed. You think I'm acting? Yeah. I don't accept the Discover card, so. Even I have standards. Hey, you think we laugh. That's what you ever watch Robert Tilton, some of those guys? W.V. Grant, these guys? And they're suckers out there by the millions. And the only reason they fall for it is because they're ignorant of the Bible. Ignorant of God's Word. I remember when I first got saved, you know, I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people who have said the same thing. When I first got saved, I was game. I was like, man, you can get, if I can speak in tongues, give it to me. You know? That's a Michael Jackson song. But anyway, but I go to church, and they'd have these people up there getting hands laid on them, and they'd start. They weren't speaking in tongues. They were just going, I'm not kidding you. They'd shake them, and they'd say, just make groan in the Lord. And then they'd, oh, he got it. They'd all go crazy and jumping around. Yeah. But then I started reading the Bible. I'm like, where in the world? Go to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14, right there. I was like, that doesn't even resemble what you're doing in this church. But the people in that church don't read their Bible. Look at that again. He said, in the first year of his reign. That means that God moved Daniel to read this at the very time its fulfillment. I have to be choosy about running the references. But you remember, Jesus said, looked down on Jerusalem and wept, saying, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you together like a mother does her, hen does her chicks, mother hen. I don't know if you use those words. That's the Greg version, the GIV, Greg International version. The GIV. But what'd he say? He said, if thou hadst known the day of thy visitation. What he was saying was, if they'd known their Bible, they'd have known it was time for the Messiah. Why? 69 weeks is up. It's time for the Messiah to show up. And because they didn't know their Bible. But God moved Daniel to read this at the very time of its fulfillment. Clarence Larkin said, from this we see that Jeremiah was recognized as a divinely inspired prophet, and that Daniel, while himself a prophet, was a student of prophecy, and that he not only read the Word of God, but also believed it. I've had these guys come up and claim to be prophets, and I'll start talking to them about the Bible, and I'll just have, I said, you ain't no prophet. And I said, well, I prophesy in the name of the Lord. I said, I don't care if you prophesy or you're blue in the face. A real prophet's going to know the Bible. And not that you'd be necessarily have to be a walking Bible, but you shouldn't be a Bible dunce and call yourself a prophet. Ain't no way. Look over at Ezra. It's in the opposite direction. It's to the left in the Old Testament there, right before Nehemiah. right after Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and Ezra, we see the same thing. History. You know, history is his story. And he gives the information that you need to know that it's real history. This is not once upon a time. That's why our hymn books, we don't have, "If you wish upon a star, doesn't matter who you are." Because that's fiction. We sing songs about history. We love to tell the story, his story. Amen? Ezra chapter 1 says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled." You ever think, have you read this before and noticed that? By the mouth of Jeremiah, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to what? At Jerusalem, which is in Judah." Cyrus knew that he was moved by God to do something on behalf of the Lord. And it was all based on the Bible itself, the book of Jeremiah. If you want to do the math, you can count 70 years from the third year of Jehoiakim. And we're told that, remember back in Daniel? We started out our study in chapter 1, verse 1, like we always do. We start at the beginning and work through the book. And in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, it said, "In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it." We're not going to do it tonight. We don't have time, but you have time. You can sit down in your Bible, and you can actually just cheat and go get go online or get a Clarence Larkin book or something like that, and you can see the charts. I'm going to show you a basic chart in a minute that I made, and you'll see that this happened in time, and it happened beginning with the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Daniel was about 17 years old, and so that means that he's about 87 years old right now in Daniel 9. We're reading this. And he is getting the information straight. But it was that many years, 70 years after he was taken into Babylon, and now he's getting it. Don't be ashamed of the fact you don't know everything, because I got news for you. Join the club. Nobody knows everything. I don't know everything. I'm not up here to impress everybody with how much I know. I'm up here hopefully to impress you with what is in this book. Daniel didn't know everything. 87 years old, and he's reading now the revelation given. Well, he's probably about 85 when this happened. I should be more exact. He's getting this information right before it happens. And he's probably about 85 years old, telling him that counting from the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, here's a little basic chart I was telling you about, I was going to mention. If you look at this little chart, let me step down here for a second. This little chart, I don't know if this won't work. Will it? You see it? Yeah. But you have Jeremiah, we're going to see in a minute what he read, what Daniel read, 607 BC. Daniel is taken into captivity in Daniel 1:1, which is 606 BC. Now here he is in Daniel 9, 70 years, almost 70 years later, he's reading that it's going to be 70 years, and he does the math.